So this particular chapter, as you see here, Perek Yutet in Rav Asher Weiss's Sefer on Emunah Bitachon, is entitled Giburei Korach Osei Devaro, and it's based on a pasuk here in Tehillim in Perek Kuf Gimel Pasuk Chav. Baruch Hashem Malachav Giburei Korach Osei Devaro Lishmoa Bekol Devaro. So there's some group of people, and the pasuk itself is very vague, which is what the interpretations are going to be involved with, who are, malachav, which, we translate I guess, as malachim, as angels, giborei koach, and, they're of mighty people, and they're following the words of Hashem. What exactly are we talking about? Who are the malachav? Who are the giborei koach? So as it so happens, here Rav Asher Weiss has a very beautiful explanation, which ties in to both today's Daf Yomi, as well as, because today's Daf Yomi very much ties into Rosh Chodesh. And he says here, Hine darshu chazal pasuk zeh al shomrei shvi'it. Now that's only one opinion, as we shall see, but there are opinions in Chazal that say this complementary medrash, this pasuk, I should say, is alluding to people who observe the halachot of Shemitah, of Shvi'is. V'o darshu, but there are other opinions in Chazal that are darsh this pasuk al b'nei Yisrael. Kishigdimo nasa l'nishma, as the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos Daf Peches, which, for anyone who's doing it, that is today's Daf Yomi. Shabbos Peches, I actually was talking with Eli Weber about a half an hour ago. I told him, one of my all-time favorite Dapim in all of Shas. There's like 5, 6, 7 beautiful, beautiful Agaritas, beautiful statements all about Har Sinai and Matan Torah, and profound philosophy and Hashkafa, all on the one daf going into a Daf Peites Amid as well. And one of those is what he is going to quote here, and that is the following, the drush on this pasuk, Baruch Hu Hashem Malachav. So he's the full quote which we have here is from the Yalkut Shimoni, which is a medrash on Tehillim, but part of it overlaps with what is actually in the Gemara today, in Brachos. Rabbi Shmuel, B'shah Shehigdimu Yisrael Nasel Nishma, Yotzisa Baskol V'amra Lehem, Banai mi gila lachem raze shemalachei asharis mishtamshin bo. So this is, of course, the Shavuos connection, and the Gemara here, and now the Medrash as well, quotes that when the Jewish people said naase v'nishma at Har Sinai, this was such an unexpected and impressive declaration by the Jewish people that in this version of Chazal, a voice, so to speak, came out. A baskol, a heavenly voice, and rhetorically, in wonderment, asked the Jewish people, who told you this secret of Nasa Venishma, which is like a key that can unlock all sorts of spiritual and divine, mysteries, who told you this secret, who revealed this secret? After all, this idea of Nasa Venishma, this is something that in its nature is the province of the angels. It's not a human declaration. It's actually angelic. It's divine. So who told you, the Jewish people, this secret handshake, if you will, the secret password that heretofore only the malachim, only the angels knew? And how do we know that? So quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, Baruch Hashem, malachav. Malachav, hear me, lashon, the angels. And you see, it's osei devaro. And then only after osei devaro is Lishmoa b'koldro. First, it's osei. First, they're going to do in the pasuk in Tehillim, and then lishmoa, as the Chazal say. You see here, bereisha osei v'hodor lishmoa. So just like in Naaseh v'nishma and this pasuk in Tehillim as well, doing precedes listening or hearing. And as you again, this statement of Chazal, or the tremendous compliment to the Jewish people of wow, Naaseh v'nishma was a great thing. You've all heard this, many times in your life. That is not new. And for now, let's just, he's going to develop the idea. But certainly the simple understanding, the one we were taught when we were younger, which is true, just because we're taught it when we're younger, even if we can come up with a more sophisticated understanding, it doesn't mean that the simple understanding is incorrect. The simple understanding here is quite correct, that it's an amazing thing that people were willing to sign on to a blank check. They signed the bottom of the contract before they knew what was written on top. They said, Naaseh, we'll do whatever you say, even Nishma, even before we have heard it. So that's an idea we've all heard many, many times. And perhaps if you were never familiar with this Gemara or this Medrash, so perhaps the one thing that's added here is this, very suggestive and very vivid description that this is not only impressive in some general sense, generic sense, but it's specifically so impressive, it's attributed to the angels. Okay, we'll have to come back to that. Continuing on here in the Medrash, says the Yalkut Shimon here. Now, this part is not in the Gemara anymore. Dover Acher, Malachav, Elu HaNevi'im. Sometimes Malachav doesn't just mean angels. Sometimes it can be referring to an allusion to angels, to prophets, to Nevi'im, Shenikru Malachim, Shenemar, Yishlach Malach of Yotzienu Mitzrayim. So there you have the Navi Moshe is referred to as the Malach, and he quotes another pasuk as well, "V'yu ma'alivim b'malachei Elokim," and that's also a reference to the way the people will react to and treat and respond to Nevi'im. So we have two allusions, perhaps, to the first part of the pasuk, the Baruch Hashem Malachav. Either Malachav means angels mamish, and that's going to be the main one we're going to focus on, and that connects to the incredible power and magic and impressive nature of the Na'aseh V'Nishma declaration, or perhaps it refers to Nevi'im. Okay, that's the first half of the pasuk. But then the second part of the pasuk refers to the Giborei Koach, the mighty ones, the ones with great strength. So says the Medrash Giborei Koach right in the middle of the paragraph, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Amar, Elu Shomrei Shvius. Those are the ones, who are the Giborei Koach? The farmers who observe the halachos of Shemitah. But Nohog Sheba Olam, in the normal course of events, Adam Osem Mitzvah Liyom Echad, L'Shabbos Echad, L'Chodesh Echad. Now, as we'll see, even this part and the continuation of this statement in the Medrash, I am embarrassed to admit, but I will admit, it's a little bit hard to read. I'm not exactly sure even how to pronounce all of the words, as we'll see in a second. But I think the basic gist will be clear, even if I can't figure out all the words. If someone wants to help me, that's even better. But basically, the way I read this first half is that the Medrash is saying, you know, in the normal course of events, a person does a mitzvah, liyom echad, maybe there's a once-a-day mitzvah, all right, l'shabbos echad, maybe there's a once-a-week mitzvah, l'chodesh echad, maybe there's a once-a-month mitzvah. They could be harder, they could be easier, but at the end of the day, sach hakol, even if it's a hard mitzvah, how difficult could it be if it's only once a month, if it's only, you know, one day or, one week, who knows? However, he says, Shema l'kol yamos hashana. But again, now this is, it's not exactly how to read this. The Shema to me is a little bit tricky. I'm not exactly sure how to read this. But basically, I think the gist is, you know, you can't compare that to something like Shemitah, which is a mitzvah which lasts for an entire year. And again, here, this next phrase is more awkward, but even though the gist, I think, is clear. V'dein chamei chaklea biyare. Again, I'm not sure, I admit, I am embarrassed. I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly. I would have loved to have found the Yalkut Shimoni with vowels. Sometimes even I need that. Chaklea biyare, or bira, I'm not sure. Karme bira. Vashatik. Now again, let's start with the words that I do know what they mean. I chakleha, right? Chaklaut is agriculture. That's referring to a farmer. And karmeha, I assume, is referring to vineyards. And I think what it means is that there's an incredible, incredible nisayon on the farmer, right? It's not just, right? There are two halachot, when it comes to the farmer on Shemitah. There's a third halacha, let me say it this way, that all the produce that grows on Shemitah is kadosh, and that applies to you and me and even the non-farmers, right? If we eat Shemitah produce, we need to be aware of the halachot of Shemitah produce because of its kedusha. But when it comes to the farmer, there actually are two specific halachot. One is not to work the land. There's an isur malacha. But I think what the Medrash is referring to is a second dimension of the Shemitah for the farmer, which maybe in a certain sense is a bigger challenge, which is he has to leave his land and not do anything to it, meaning he can allow anyone. It's hefker. The produce is hefker. Any animal can come onto his field. Any human being can come onto his field and take the produce. The fact that he doesn't work for the year, you know, on the one hand, that's a vacation. Who doesn't want a year off? On the other hand, obviously, there's a certain level of nisayon. You're worrying about your parnasa for the year. But on some level, even more acute than that, is not just that I'm not working now, it's that the stuff that's on my field, the stuff that's actually growing, I have to allow anyone to take. right? You and I can just walk onto the farmer's field and we're allowed to take it. It's hefker. So I think that's, again, even though I admit I'm not reading this as smoothly as I would ordinarily like, but I think that's the word bire or bire, which is that you have to be able to look, you have to be able to see that people are just coming onto your farm, coming onto your, the kramim vashatik yishla, and you have to be quiet. You can't do anything about it. Yeshlacha gibor chayel gadol mizeh, says the Medrash, right? That takes a certain level of gvura, and I think we could understand this, especially in the world, in the Western capitalist world that we've grown up in, which, if I can paraphrase a very famous saying, capitalism is the worst system other than every other one, right? In other words, there's all sorts of imperfections in capitalism, but al derech hateva, there has not been a system that has actually ever been devised that has been more successful or more fair, frankly, for all of capitalism's imperfections, right? But given that we are all growing up in that world, right, we are naturally, I include myself, we are very, sensitive to and certainly respect private ownership, right? Personal ownership, right? And the Torah understands that too, right? The farmer has a certain level of produce. It makes sense that if you work the land and now your private farm is giving yield to produce, and now for a whole year I just have to let anyone who wants take it, right? That would be, it's a tremendous nisayon, right? Even things I didn't work hard for, just the very fact that I own them, and now anyone could take them, that would be very hard for me. Kavachomer, ben benosha kavachomer. If I worked hard backbreaking labor under the hot sun, the previous year to farm, anyone could just walk in. So says the Medrash, that's a form of gvura. That's a tremendous form of gvura to just, sit back, and allow that. It's a natural, I would say it's not only a natural instinct, it is a perfectly just and ethical instinct that normally you wouldn't allow that, right? It's yours. Normally we'd call that stealing. If someone walked into my farm and tried to take my stuff, and an owner would certainly have every right to protect his property. Yet, once every 7 years, and every seven Shemitah cycles, a second year called Yovel, we have to just allow people to take our stuff. Says the Medrash, I think very, powerfully, but very reasonably, Yeshlecha gibori chayel gadol mizeh. So the Medrash concludes, Nemar kan osei devarav, nemar lahalan, vezev devar ha-shemitah. So that phrase, dvaro, or zeh devar, which is also said in the Parsha of Shemitah, so the Medrash says, that's how we know that this phrase, Gibure Koach, this pasuk is also an allusion to Shemitah, not only because of everything I just spent the last 5 minutes telling you, that psychologically, emotionally, there's a tremendous gevura for the farmer, but also just textually, in the psukim, we can find an allusion and a connection. Malahalan Shvius, just like the other pasuk, Zetvar Shemitah is talking about Shemitah, so too this pasuk is also talking about Shvius. And finally, the Medrash concludes, or at least this section of Asher Weiss quotes, the Medrash goes on, but he ends his quotation with the Medrash adding, Shana Rabotenu, Ezuhi Gibor, HaKovesh Et Yitzro, which of course is a very famous phrase from Pirkei Avos. Now we see it in the Medrash here as well. And that is that, in much of the world, we celebrate Gvura as a physical trait exclusively. And there's no question that courage in battle or courage in other fields is also legitimate courage for sure. However, we know that Judaism very much celebrates, first and foremost, an inner gevura, a certain spiritual heroism, which is to be able to resist even the most natural and human and strong temptations and do the right thing, whether that's actively to do something or, in a more passive sense, to not give in to one's temptations. If a person is, home or up at late at night, in his room, and, there's something tempting him on his computer or his phone, and he turns away from that and doesn't do that. So I'll paraphrase the Medrash. Yeshlecha gibor chayel gadol mizeh. That's also a tremendous gvura, for sure. So that is, a very classic Jewish idea that spiritual heroism, even expressed in purely emotional or psychological or just even non-behavioral ways, by avoiding temptation, living up to standards, is a tremendous form of gvura. Okay, Ad Kan the Medrash. Comes along page number 2 here. Says Rav Asher Weiss, Tzarech Bir, Ma'in in Shemitah Eitzar HaSinai, which of course is a great turn of phrase by Rav Asher Weiss, right? What does Shemitah, pitom, out of nowhere, have to do with this pasuk and this idea. And of course, it's a brilliant turn of phrase by Rav Asher Weiss, because he's using the well-known phrase, which anyway means, what's this got to do with the price of tea in China? Is that still an expression you guys know about? I'm not sure people still use that. I heard it from J.J. Schachter, that he was once in a hotel in Israel a few decades ago, and he turned on the hotel TV in Israel when they barely had any, American TV shows in Israel, and it had, Hebrew subtitles, and there was the detective show, the famous detective show, Kojak. And he's yelling at somebody, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? And on the Israeli TV show, in the Hebrew subtitles, it said, Ma'in Shemitah Etz Har Sinai. Which is one of those great only in Israel stories, where they just assume that even, people who are just watching the TV show would get the Talmudic or rabbinic reference. So that idea of what does one thing have to do with another, to anyone who knows anything about rabbinic literature, we use the phrase, Ma'in Shemitah Etz Har Sinai. Of course, the genius of Rav Asher Weiss is that he's using it about Shemitah itself. What does Shemitah have to do with the rest of this medrash? Lama Nikru Giburei Korach Shomrei Shemiyas. Mechad, how come the same phrase of Giburei Koach in this pasuk on the one hand is referring to people who observe Shemitah? One pasuk, the same pasuk, is complimenting the Jewish people who accepted the Torah, Nasev and Ishma, and the very same pasuk is complimenting the people who what? Who keep Shemitah. I mean, they're both nice things, but what does one really have to do with another? It seems a weird, some strange bedfellows in this medrash. So says Rav Asher Weiss in the second paragraph, Nira, Dishtei Drashos Eila, Shnei Tzadim Me Matbeh Echadheim. So I guess we're using lots of idioms today. Says Rav Asher Weiss, there are two sides of the same coin. Ein Gvura Ela, Shvira Samidos. And that would be an underlying phrase. Says Rav Asher Weiss, at the heart of it, if you want to get to the heart, the kishkas, of how we're defining Gvura, spiritual heroism, it's breaking the midos, shviras midos. Now that's not his phrase, that's a well-known Musar or rabbinic phrase, but Rav Asher Weiss is applying it here, and he's saying the essence of true gvura at its heart is an ability to quote-unquote break or overcome natural tendencies, shviras midos. Kasher adam shover et tivo giborhu. If a person can overcome a natural tendency, that is greatness, that is strength. V'zeh shamru chazal, ezu gibor, now, I gave one obvious and relevant example in our day and age of the temptations of the internet, etc. But the truth is, well before there was an internet, it was the same idea was true. And it's true even for all sorts of less sensational examples. Just for example, right? Certain people are born naturally to be more stingy. They're not bad people. They would never steal your money. But they're not interested in giving away their money either, right? Certain people are more charitable. Other people are more stingy. If a person knows that about himself and over time works on himself and makes himself into a more charitable person, that's shviras amidos. That's what he means. And that's gvura. That's gvura for sure. There's so many other examples, right? I don't really like learning. I find learning boring. I have a hard time concentrating. A lot of people really have serious issues of attention. So you could just say, okay, that's who I am. Or a person could work on himself and with great effort, and perhaps over time, really overcome a certain natural tendency. That's Shviras Amidos. That's Gevura. Okay, if that's the case, now let's bring that thesis back to the Medrash. Says Rav Asher Weiss, third paragraph. Kasher ben Chorin makdim nasev nishma. Let's start with the beginning of the Medrash, which is the part that relates to Daf Yomi, today's Daf Yomi, and relates to Shavuos. Let's start with that. Kasher ben Chorin makdim nasev nishma. Noeku neged hateva enoshi. When the Jewish people said Naasev Nishma, they were going against not just their own individual nature, they were going against human nature. Halotivo shel adam lishof lechofesh. Ki lechofesh nolad. It's human nature to be attracted, to be drawn to freedom. V'darko shel ben choron lishmo etem mitvakesh mimenu ulishpot bedato imuchanu litchayev lo. Right? It's human nature. If you're free, somebody asks something of you, you want to hear about it, and then you want to weigh your options. That's only reasonable. That's only natural. Are you muchan litchavev lo? Are you willing to be committed or not? Ukasher hu makdim nasel l'nishma, shover hu et tivo hayisodi. So if a person to be willing to commit, sight unseen, details unheard, say, whatever you want from me, I am there for you, that goes against a very fundamental human nature. And therefore, by definition, given how we're defining it, that is certainly a form of gvura. Okay, so you understand that? That's the first kind of layer, you know, the brick in the wall. That gvura means overcoming natural tendencies. Now, the good news is, all of us, Baruch Hashem, are born with many positive natural tendencies. In those cases, our job is to cultivate those, to milk them, and to get as much out of them as we can, even strengthen them and work on them, for sure. But it's not enough. It's easy. It's the easier of the two. But it's not enough to just spend our lives, you know, maximizing the good things that we can do. Maybe that should be the primary purpose of our life. I don't want to get into that now. That's not in Rav Asher Weiss's essay, so that would be a far afield from our topic today. But even if one assumes that the ikkar in life is, you know, Hashem gave you certain strengths, develop those, which I personally would accept, but that's not enough. It's not enough. It's insufficient. Because we all, myself certainly included, we all have negative instincts and attributes and natural tendencies which are less than flattering. So what do we do about that? And the answer is we have to all become gibore koach. We all have to do our best, and it's not easy for sure. Sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's harder, but it's never easy to break, so to speak, to overcome, to change, or to uplift, adapt, control a natural tendency that we may have been born with. That's true gvura. And at the most basic level, giving up one's freedom of choice, being willing to say, you know what? I'm willing to accept all the details, sight unseen, details unheard. I'm committed. Says Rav Asher Weiss, that is true gvura, and that's what the Jewish people did at Har Sinai. V'kach gam, next paragraph. That is also what the chaklai, the farmer does. Over adama, roet amalo, yotze l'reik. V'zarem ochlim et pri amalo v'shotek, right? Think about that now. As we mentioned already previously, what greater example of overcoming a natural tendency could there be than someone who worked hard, put in a lot of effort as a farmer, and then sees it all go to waste in the sense that he's not going to necessarily benefit. All sorts of strangers are going to come and take his stuff, and he's not going to do anything about it. Avhu noheg, lefnai v'lefnim, miderech hateva, af hu shover tivo, right? That is a person overcoming his natural tendency. Again, I personally think he's correct. Maybe it's debatable, I don't know. But I find this very compelling, and I think it's actually very powerful in the modern era in which we live in. And I don't want to get into politics, but we've all seen the pictures of what's happening, including all over America, including in some of your cities, where people are just taking other people's property, just total looting. And you know, and a lot of times the shop owners are allowing it to happen because, frankly, they're too scared for their life. But we've all seen, you know, there have been some very dramatic pictures, some of them ending positively and some of them ending quite tragically, of, you know, shopkeepers and business people standing up for their private property when the looters came. And Rav Asher Weiss is saying, we see from the Torah perspective, you know, that the instinct to stand up for what you belong, what's yours, to stand, you know, behind your, you know, the idea of private ownership and personable property, that's a totally, you know, legitimate and natural tendency which the Torah accepts. And yet, once it's 6 years in a row, it's totally natural, totally legitimate. But 1 year out of every seven in the Shemitah year, we have to overcome that natural and legitimate tendency to be careful and be makbid on our own personal property and say, even though I worked hard for it, I'm willing to give it away. Amazing. So he continues and he says, ובשנת השביעי זרוע אדם הוכן נמושוס, ואף את חייר השדה אוכלים אס פרי המלוא ויגיעו ושוסק. You see all sorts of people just wandering around taking your stuff. You don't say a word. לא בכדי קרו עליו חזל גיבורי קורח עושה דברו לשמוע בכל דבר. Right? It's not for nothing. It's not for naught that the Torah, the Chazal, I should say, calls such a person a gibor, a tremendous gibor. And now we have, I think, just about two paragraphs left till we finish. It's a short letter here. Says Rav Asher Weiss. Now that's pretty much the end of his drusha on the medrash which we started with. But now he connects it to another medrash, another idea. V'hine darshu chazal, also a gemara, earlier Masechta Shabbos. V'haya emunas itecha chosin yeshuos chachma badas. Very famous pasuk, which the gemara darshins is an allusion to. The six phrases there, each one an allusion to one of the six of the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. Each one of those phrases is an allusion to a different Seder of Mishnayos. And as the Gemara there says, Emuna, that first word there, Emuna, Zeh Seder Zroim. Right? Very famous idea that Zroim, which is all the halachos of agricultural halachos, Truma and Meiser and Bikurim, Arla, Kilayim, and yes, Shemitah, All of that is alluded to, all those Mishnayos, all that section, one-sixth, if you will, of Tarshi Baal Peh, is alluded to the word by the word emuna, belief. Okay, now that's already in the Gemara. Now here comes a very beautiful idea, and this will be the last point of the shiur. Beautiful idea from Rav Asher Weiss. He says, Havona hapshutahi, shazorea tzarch litchazek be'emuna, ulhamin shakarash baruch yigzo sha'aretz titen yivula, v'etza sadeh yitain perio. And this, by the way, is how I always understood the Gemara as well. Says the simple understanding is, why is emuna connected to farming? Why is emuna connected to Seder Zrayim? Because the farmer has to put in a tremendous amount of work and effort, and there's no immediate reward. There's no immediate yield, right? A stockbroker, an investor, other types of people, sometimes there could be a short-term gain right away. You get to see the benefit of your labor. Whereas a farmer has to put it, do all that work on faith that eventually something will grow. That's how I always understood the Gemara, says Rav Asher Weiss. That's Havana Hapshuta. But he has a question on this. He says he's not so convinced. Ach lech ora, tamua. He thinks it's not so poshut. After all, be'emet, ein lecha tchum kol shu mitchumi ha'parnasa shebo ha'adam yachol liot tzanuch ubatuach sh'amalo yisa pri kmo ba'avodah ha'adama. He's, again, I'm not as in love with this question as Rav Asher Weiss seems to be. But again, we're here to present his thought. He says, I'm not so sure that from that perspective, agriculture, farming is so unique. After all, says Rav Asher Weiss, in every profession, you have to have some level of trust. Whether, if you're religious, you call it bitachon. If you're not religious, you just say hope, whatever word you want to use. But whatever word you use, in lots of professions, you know, you have to hope for the best. And obviously, from a religious perspective, we need a Kadosh Baruch Hu to bless our efforts. Now, I obviously agree, I don't think you need Rav Asher Weiss to say it, you certainly don't need me to say it, that yes, we as believing Jews believe, no matter what you're doing, what your profession is, and no matter how good you are at it naturally, if Hashem doesn't bless your efforts, you won't be successful. Okay, I think that's Emuna 101. But I still think that, you know, the tremendous effort and the ratio of effort to the delayed result in agriculture, to me, it's somewhat unique. But Rav Asher Weiss, at least, again, and it's his essay, he is convinced that at least maybe in degree it's unique, but fundamentally that's not so unique about agriculture. After all, he says, he goes further. He says, listen, hello, derech hashamayim lahori talu matar levracha. He says, listen, you may have to wait some time, but as a general rule, we assume that, you know, it's going to rain at some point. Derech ha'adama l'hatzmiach zera, and the nature of the earth is it grows things. Right, don't things grow every year? So he actually flips it on its head. Not only is farming not a bigger risk than other professions, he says there's a certain natural property of the rain, of the ground. Things grow. Maybe more, maybe less, but things grow. Why do you think it's such a muna to be a farmer? He says, on the contrary, hasocher v'haomein, other entrepreneurs, businessmen, they really have to believe. And I have to say, even before we get to his answer, which is what we're going to get to in a second, his answer I think is beautiful, I have to admit, his question is very creative and thought-provoking, and I'm fully willing to admit, his question is 180 degrees different than the way I would have always thought about this. He says, not only does a farmer not take more amuna, he thinks maybe other professions take more amuna. After all, you know eventually it's going to rain, you know eventually the ground gives yield, after all, it happens all the time, things grow. On the other hand, if you're a businessman, if you're a storekeeper, who said anyone's going to walk through the door today? There's no natural teva that brings customers to your door the way there is natural teva that brings rain. There's no such thing, says Rav Asher Weiss. Right? Who said? You invented something. You have a great thing. Who said anyone's going to finance it? Right? Now again, I have to say, it's really thought-provoking. For Rav Asher Weiss, he says, not only is it not worse, and not better than farming, he thinks it may be worse. So, whether you're as convinced or not by his question, and I'm still kind of mulling it over myself, his answer is still beautiful, which is that even if I was right about what he called the Havana Pshuta, he suggests either what you would call an additional or a deeper understanding, depending on your preference, but at minimum it's an additional understanding, which I think is quite profound, and we'll finish with this. Lule Mistafina, he says, I wouldn't be scared. Right? Lule Mistafina is one of those words you come across in Svarim, which a person is about to say, if I would be so bold, I would say, and I'm going to be bold, right? It's a little bit of a false humility, but it's a classic rabbinic phrase when someone's about to give a chiddush. That sounds, you know, if I wouldn't be afraid, I would say. I.e., I'm not afraid, I'm gonna say. Lule demistafino hayanira kavanas chazal dinisyono shalachakri hulahamin shakarish barkhu amotzi lechem aretz. Awesome, I love this. This is so powerful. He says the amuna that's unique to the farmer is not that eventually things will grow, which is what I assumed. The trust that I work now, 6 months later, something will grow. The amuna that the farmer has, his nisayon is, he puts in so much effort, more than the average person. It's such a labor-intensive, back-breaking profession that his amuna, his nisayon is, that when it finally does grow, he has to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making it grow and not his efforts. Lo kochav otzem yado osolo et kol chayel lazeh. The unique, now again, you'd say that's absolutely, again, this is me now, Rav Asher Weiss. It's obviously true that nisayon is true for a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, a scientist, and every other profession, right? In our generation, in our world, it's always tempting, and there's always good reason to give ourselves the credit. So in every profession, whether you're a lawyer, a doctor, or a financier, or a high-tech guy, you have to believe that Hashem is giving you the, you know, and it's easy to give yourself credit. But what I think he's saying, which I think does make a lot of sense, again, I've never been a farmer, not even for one day, but I could understand where he's coming from, that certain things, let's say like agriculture, are so labor intensive, it seems like it's all because of you. After all, you're putting in so much work, so much effort, the farmer's so dedicated, so caring, so involved in everything, so that the farmer, if not in kind, but at least into degree, has a unique challenge to make sure that even though he's putting in so much effort, he realizes it's still coming from Hashem. Remember, it all comes from Hashem. That's the giburei koach that we're talking about, realizing the gvura, which is overcoming a natural tendency. We spoke about the natural tendency of Nasev and Nishma. They overcame the natural desire for freedom, the natural curiosity and inquisitiveness of wanting to know about something before you commit. There was a gevura in overcoming that and being willing to commit sight unseen, a blind faith. But there also is the Shomrei Shviat gevura of overcoming the natural tendency to think Kochi v'otzem yadi, that it's all coming from me. That is how a person attains perfection and fulfills his purpose. And that's how he quotes, and with this we'll conclude. He ends off with two little quotes beautifully. We have one from the Vilna Gaon, and Ari, on behalf of your Hasidic lineage, also from one of the great Hasidic masters, from the Noam Elimelech. What does the Gros say in his Sefer Evan Shlema? Iker chiyuso shel adam b'olam hazeh. A great and powerful, short, pithy statement of the Vilna Gaon, that the essence of life, the highest purpose of life is to work on yourself, to improve your midos, not to just be satisfied with who you are, but to truly, if necessary, change part of who you are, to break your midos, to break your natural tendencies in a good way, says the Gra so powerfully. And if not, what's the purpose of being alive? Right? What have you done with your time to justify being alive unless you're truly improving what you started with? That's the Vilna Gaon. And the Noam Elimelech, the great Rav Elimelech of Lezhensk, Ha'odom lo nivra b'olam, rak lishbor et ha'teva. Exactly the same idea. And again, it all comes back to this basic thesis that ties together the whole piece, which again, as we saw, includes today's Daf Yomi and the reference in the Gemara to Maimon Har Sinai and Nasev and Ishma. That was, on a national level, an incredible act of Shvirat Amidot, people going against their natural tendency to do something tremendous, to do something great. Similarly, when it came again, they're not the only example, but a prime example on a more micro level are all of the individual farmers who are willing to allow people to take their property. Their property is hefker. They worked for a whole year and effort, and now they have to just let people come take their stuff. That's also, says Rav Asher Weiss, a tremendous, tremendous, effort on their behalf. And similarly, as he said, the other flip side of Shemitah, which is the idea that as a farmer in general, not just Shemitah, but as a farmer, the fact that you put in so much effort, it's easy to see it as directly coming from your effort, but instead to say, you know what, even though I have all this effort, I can still see that there's something beyond me, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are, I think, all very much eminently doable, but against a certain natural tendency, and that is the spiritual heroism that if we have the right emuna, then we can push ourselves for. There's no reason to push yourself. You would never strive to overcome these natural tendencies without that level of emuna. So admittedly, it's a little bit of a catch-22. You need to have the emuna to have the effort based on the emuna, but that's part of that is part of our avoda that he is stressing here in this short, but I think very, very powerful and very insightful piece.